Turn to Luke chapter 1 this morning. We're going to tackle the Christmas story one last time before it's all over with. Nothing more fitting on Christmas Day than to talk about the Christmas story. As you know, we've been going through each week, kind of covering a different carol to theme the sermon by, and I'm going to do things a little different today. I want to use the song we sang, the very first song we sang today, My Soul Magnifies the Lord. And we're going to kind of preach from Mary's point of view today and her response to God's divine call on her life. But this song is written out of Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56, which is known as Mary's Song or the Magnificat. And how many of you enjoyed last night? Several of you were here. Thank you so much for coming. I know that these services kind of interrupt the flow of family meals and all of that, but what better place to be on Christmas Day than right here, amen? Amen. Getting to worship God together. But last night we opened the service with a quote from Saint Augustine, and he said, "Miracles are not in contradiction to nature. They are only in contradiction with what we know of nature." For example, if all we've ever known is a woman becomes pregnant by being with a man, but then all of a sudden, a woman is pregnant without being with a man, that would be known as a miracle. But it also would be known as an interruption to the pattern of the way it has always been. How many of you know we refer to babies all the time as miracles? Because they are. It's a miracle how they come into this world. But miracles change plans. How many of you know babies, when you had a baby, it changes your plans. Everything in life changes when that baby comes to the world. And this baby was no different. So let's read out of Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail.' And Mary's response is, 'I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled.' And the angel left her." How many of you in here would be honest and say you are a planner? As in, you have a calendar, you run specifically by that calendar, you don't like things to mess with your calendar kind of planner. Come on, get your hands up, be honest. Controlling a little bit, meticulous. We'll stop there. Now, how many of you would be honest and say you're spontaneous? You kind of go with the flow kind of a person. Hey, if it's happening, I'm in. Yeah, okay, all right. So some would consider you adventurous. Others might consider you reckless. I don't know, there's many words we could use for that as well. You're the reason that we'll be out of Social Security when it's time for me to turn 65 and need that. Thank you so much for that. But lack of planning. But now, I love to plan when it comes to the church. You kind of have to, because things are coming up. You've got to look forward. You got to make sure you have your plans in order. When it was coming into the Christmas season, knowing how much music is involved in Christmas, knowing that I'm trying to work two positions here, I went ahead and sat down about 3.5 weeks ago, and I just planned the music for the rest of the year, just to get me to this point, so that I knew music was handled, and I could worry about the other half of what I'm doing. And so I just sat down and tried to think of every service and what we would want to see. Those things change. obviously plans change. And how many of you don't like for your plans to get interrupted? Anybody with me on that? I mean, last night I wanted everything to go as planned. And for the most part it did. And I'm happy about that. But we make plans and we don't like for those to be messed with. But we had a plan to practice two Thursday nights ago. If you were here last week, we sang the song Drummer Boy. And so the Thursday before that Sunday, we had planned a practice for 7 o'clock that night. And that was the opening night of Star Wars. Now, Connor is a huge Star Wars fan. He raises his hand. He says amen to that. So he really wanted to go, and I really wanted to take him. So I thought, okay, I'm going to plan this out. So we planned the practice for 7. The latest movie they had was 7:30. But you know, there's about 10 to 15 minutes of previews, so I thought, you know what? We'll practice from 7 to 7:30. The theater's right there. So we went ahead and bought our tickets early. We showed up for practice. I had all the instruments set up so we could roll in, get our practice in, and get out. Unfortunately, I ruined those plans. The band shows up. We're ready to go. And I realized the music, the music that we needed for that night, I had stuck in my backpack and carried home with me after work that afternoon. So all of a sudden, we're all here, we're ready to practice, and we have no music. So our plans change. And it was all my fault. So I hate that because I know how I don't like my plans to be interrupted. And I felt bad for everybody else that was involved. We had to come back on Saturday and practice again because of my stupidity. I'll say it that way. But I don't like plans to get ruined. And so I felt terrible. But one thing that happens quite often is even in planning the music just throughout the year, I usually do it about 2 weeks out. And one of the things I appreciate is how our band just is so willing to do whatever, because obviously if a song goes better with the sermon or we need it in a different key, we can show up that morning, we can change it, and they just go with the flow, man. They can do anything. You've seen that because you've heard them over and over and over, and you see what they're able to do. And so I am so thankful. I want to take this moment to say thank you to the band that you're always willing to change. Man, we've learned songs the morning of, and they're faithful. They're awesome. And so my point is, out of all of this, it's way better to have a plan and it change than to show up with no plan and then try to make one. I probably wouldn't have a band behind me if I just tried to show up without a plan and say, okay, let's figure out what we're going to sing tonight. It wouldn't work. But one could look at the Christmas story and say, there was some poor planning. And you're thinking, what do you mean? Well, for not having a room, for not maybe making a reservation, for maybe the way God sent an angel to tell Mary how all of this was going to go down. You know, he could have just sent an angel to tell both of them at the same time. But instead, he informs Mary. Joseph catches word, and he thinks, well, I got to break this thing off because this is going to be weird and awkward, and I just need to step out. But then the angel appears to him in a dream. So I'm thinking, man, you could have just told him at the same time. There's so many things that could have gone better, but God had a plan. God knew what he was doing. I think he likes the element of surprise. And how many of you know God can change our plans? Amen? And it's okay. But this morning, what I want to talk about is how to prepare for being your plans changed. Let me say that again. How to prepare for when your plans change. A year ago September, actually, to be honest with you, a year ago July, Courtney and I were cruising through life. We were actually headed to kids camp at the Northern Missouri District office or campgrounds in Excelsior Springs. And during that week, our life got turned upside down because a job opportunity came open that I heard about. And from that point on, I made a phone call is all I did. I was willing to throw my name out there. And the next thing I know, I have a job that's taking me away from here. It was not something I planned. It was not something I saw happening. But out of that, by taking that position, that we didn't know what was going to happen. Was that going to take us out of Chillicothe? Was that going to take us out of Cornerstone? We didn't know, but God knew. Out of that, saying yes to that plan, Pastor Stan had an idea to go start a church in St. Joe, which involved me pastoring here, which brought me to this point. God knew exactly what he was doing. Unfortunately, I didn't. It's never fun going through those times of wondering, okay, what's going on here? What's going to happen? And I'm sure Mary was thinking that. Now, from the words of the great Mike Tyson, everybody knows him, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. That's so true. But when it comes to plans, we always love to read one scripture. You probably already know the one I'm talking about. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Everyone loves that scripture when it comes to life because we want to focus on the key words of prosper and hope and future. And that all sounds great, but you're leaving out the scripture that goes right before that. See, we like to print off Jeremiah 29:11 and just have that in front of us because it sounds so good. You see, Mary had a plan. Joseph had a plan, but God had a different plan. But if you look back at Jeremiah 29:10, here's what it says. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good purpose to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. How many of you want God to show up in your life and say, I've got a plan for you. It'll happen in 70 years. You'd be like, I'm dead and gone by then. Probably, depending on how old you are. 70 years. And we forget that part. We just think, hey, God's got a plan for my life, and he knows, and he's going to prosper me. I've got hope. 70 years from now. How many of you know that's tough to live with if you have to think, I'm going to know in 70 years. So rather than focusing on the key words of prosper, hope, and future, those are good. Don't forget about it. It's still true. But how about focusing on the key words, I know. Not I know. For God knows the plans that he has for you. And if you will focus on that, if you will trust him, when those plans change, it's a lot easier to go, you know what? God knows the plans that he has for me. Whether it takes 70 years or 7 years, God knows. So the first thing I want to encourage you with today, out of this Christmas story, is plan for interruption. This is a bit of a precursor to our series we're going to start next week. We're going to start a series called Own It. And there's three simple things that we want you to take ownership of. Number one is your walk with Christ. We need to own it. We need to wear it. We need to accept it and say, God, what do you want from me? And you ask God and you own that position that you have with God. The second thing we want you to do is own your position in this church. Are you inviting people? Are you doing your part to be what you need to be in this church to keep this body of Christ going and growing? Because that's the goal here, is to grow in the body of Christ. So we want you to own it. The next thing we're going to say is take ownership of your position in the community. Now you can say, well, I don't live in this community. Your community, wherever you are, your neighborhood, your friends, your realm of influence, your workplace, whatever it may be, that you take ownership of what God wants to do through you in that place. So those are things that we are going to look at in the next few weeks. But God needs us to, first of all, to do any of that, we have to look at our own lives and be willing, when God steps up and has a change of plans, to be willing to say yes. So how do you prepare for interruption? Because really, the word interruption means you're not planning for it. Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, it's verses 5 through 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. I like this line, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Another one says, acknowledge him. But I purposefully use this because the way we prepare for a change of plans, the way we prepare for when God is going to interrupt our life, is we have to be submitted to him. We have to be ready for when that moment comes that He asks us to do something. We trust Him with not part of our hearts, with not some of our hearts, but with all of our hearts. Don't let your plans make you miss God's promise. Let me say that again. Don't let your plans make you miss God's promise. How do you respond when there's a change of plans? Are you like, well, I'm not really ready for that just yet, God. Maybe catch me in a month. Catch me in a year, and maybe I can do that. What if Mary had said that? She didn't really have a choice, did she? While Mary's planning a wedding, God was planning to save the world. So she needed to be on board. Why didn't He wait till Mary and Joseph were married? Don't know. Maybe Joseph wasn't willing to commit just yet. They had the engagement, but he wouldn't set the date kind of thing. Who knows? But I'm sure Mary wanted to have children. I'm sure she would love to have a family. She just had the idea of doing it inside of the marriage. But God had other plans. I love hearing parents talk about their children, and they say, well, we weren't really planning on this one. You ever hear that? Refer to their child as an accident? Well, we weren't planning on it. Okay, let me just say this. Something has to happen for you to have a baby. Mary's the only one I know of that's ever been conceived by the Holy Spirit, so something happened for you to have that child. You may not have planned on it, but I'm going to stop there. The children are in here. So let's move on. But look at Mary's response to all of this. That's where we're going today. This is what I want you to see, is Mary's response in the moment. She didn't leave and go pray about it. She didn't say, I'll be back in 2 weeks and I'll give you my answer. Here was her response in verse 38 of Luke chapter 1. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Now, I love the New King James Version. I think I put the ESV in there, but the New King James says, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Maidservant, that suggests humility before God. A readiness for faithful and obedient service. She wasn't planning on God changing her life in that instance. But she was submitted to Him. She had already made that decision in her heart and in her mind before the angel came. That's how we plan for interruption. You're already submitted to Him to say, God, whatever you bring my way, whatever you ask of me, I'm your servant. Here I am. Use me. Plan for interruption. And how do we do that? By being fully submitted. Let me just warn you, some of the greatest invitations in your life will come in the form of an interruption. I know many of you got saved later on in life. And that came with someone inviting you to a church. Did you go in that day planning to accept Jesus into your heart? No. But from that point on, your life was changed. You had a change of plans based on that invitation. Some of the invitations that will come your way may come in the form of an interruption. But you will be changed forever. Let's just be realistic here. If God could impregnate a woman before she was married, how many of you know He's willing to step outside our realm of thinking? He's willing to go beyond what we can even think or imagine. So when I look back over the last year and a half and what Courtney and I have been through getting to this point, all I can say is thank you, God, for a change of plans. I got a phone call just about 4 or 5 days ago from Ryan Christopher. Ryan Christopher is the gentleman who took my place at the district office. And I remember the day I was sharing with my boss at the time, Pastor Ray Brewer. I'm sitting in his office and I'm telling him what we're going to do. And throughout the conversation, he said, do you have anybody in mind who can do what you're doing? And I had one name. And I don't think it was by accident. I think it absolutely was someone God had sent into my life who would take my place there. Because I mentioned that name, and through a couple of phone calls, once again, that position was filled, and it was a smooth, easy transition. God had a plan all along. Little did I know, little did Ryan know. But after we talked on the phone the other day, he called me to let me know about some of the missions giving. Part of my job there was to raise missions, having youth groups giving to missions, something called Speed the Light. And he called me to say, man, our Speed the Light giving is going off the charts. It's doing really well. There's one church that doubled the most that's ever been given. And he's sharing all this with me, all of his excitement about it. And he just told me before we hung up, he said, thank you for thinking of us when it came to this position. We love it. We're having a great time. And as I hung up the phone, I appreciated the thank you, but all I could do was turn to God and say, thank you for the opportunity that I now have to be in this position. God had a plan, just as he did with Mary and Joseph. Church, don't let your plans that didn't happen make you miss God's promise that is happening right now. Plan for inconvenience. Any ladies in here ever found being pregnant convenient? I'm not even going to act like I know what that's like because I'm not a lady. But I know it's probably not real convenient. But Mary, dealing with being pregnant, trying to explain this to everyone, how it had happened, traveling to Bethlehem on this donkey, having a baby in a cave or a barn or whatever it was, this manger, none of this was convenient for her. But we don't know how or when these things are going to take place. Just know that it's going to take place. God is going to interrupt your life. And you may think it doesn't seem convenient, it doesn't seem fun at the moment, but God's going to use you to do great things if you're willing, if you're submitted to Him. I'm going to skip a few things and keep going. So how do we plan for interruption and inconvenience? Once again, it's an attitude. It's an attitude of obedience. Having the attitude that no matter what God throws at me, I will obey. Scott, I'll just have you come back and just begin to play. And I want to read you. Let's all read it together. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. It's Mary's response after telling God, I'm your maidservant, here I am. After hearing this news from this angel, this is her response. And I think it's the most beautiful response. My soul magnifies the Lord, or glorifies the Lord, depending on what translation you're reading. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. Church, plan for inconvenience. Plan for interruption. But more than anything, plan for the impossible. God can use you to do things way beyond what you can imagine. But you have to plan for it. You have to be ready for it. When Mary asked the angel, how can I do this? I'm just a virgin. The angel says, no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. If He asks you to do something, it's going to happen. He's not going to tell you to do something and you do it and then it fails. But you've got to be willing to step out and be willing to go for it. You may not even see how it's going to happen, but if you take that step of faith, it will happen. And you will find yourself in a new place. Church, a year from now, when I'm standing here on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or whatever service it is, I don't want this place to look the same. I want it to be different. I want it to be new. I want there to be a change of plans throughout this year that God uses each and every one of you to grow the kingdom, to grow this church, and to use me as well. As we say, here we are, God, we're your servants, use us. Do great and mighty things through us, for your word will never fail. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet. Man, God wants to use you. Don't sit back and say, God, I'm comfortable where I'm at. It's never fun to look back on things, but I could look back and go, what if I had not said yes the first time? Last July, when I don't know why it had to happen like that. I don't know why I had to step out to get back in. It doesn't make sense. I can't explain it to you, but God knew he had something in mind, and it worked. And it worked out exactly as he had planned. Lord, we're here today on this Christmas day. Thank you that Mary was willing to be your servant. Thank you that she was willing to say yes to the job you had asked her to do. God, I believe there's a job for every person in this room. There's something you may be asking them to do already. Or God, there's something you're going to ask them to do in the future. May we all have the heart of Mary to say, here we are. We are your servants. Do what you will in us. Do what you will through us. Use us to change the world. Just as you did with Mary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is good. Amen. May you enjoy your family today. May you enjoy opening some presents. Some of you probably already have. Hopefully you got a few more. May you enjoy some food. I know I'm going to here in about an hour. But may you honor God in everything that you say and do throughout this week, throughout the rest of the day. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Have a great day.